Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Let me ask you a question. Would you spend $32 million to buy 124 homes north of Houston? Now, these are brand new homes. They were built by one of the biggest home builders in the country. D.R. Horton built them. As a matter of fact, D.R. Horton built the entire subdivision of 124 homes with all kinds of different floor plans. And in a slightly different move than what they normally do, they went about the process of renting those houses out. And once they had all 124 homes rented out, they put the whole subdivision on the market. You heard me correctly. They put the entire 124 home subdivision on the market. And I'll tell you what, it stirred up a feeding frenzy. Oh, yeah. I mean, now this is from the Wall Street Journal. This is where I got the information from. And I think it's really interesting that entire subdivisions are being traded. Yeah, 124 homes. That's a lot of houses. Now, since they're all in the same subdivision, it's kind of like a multifamily community. Kind of, but not really. But it is, but it isn't. But it's still 124 homes. And you're going to be surprised at who actually won the bidding war. It was a pension fund. You heard me correctly. A pension fund. Yeah. So why are pension funds investing in real estate in Texas? Well, maybe they've figured something out over the years. Maybe they've figured out that real estate has the ability to pay them potentially up to five different ways, as opposed to what they normally do, which is putting their money into stocks and bonds and all kinds of other things. See, pension funds have a very unique responsibility. They have to provide streams of income for people that receive pensions. And to do that, well, you got to be pretty good at growing your money. Because you're taking an organization's money, usually the company that somebody works for, or maybe a municipality, and you have to invest it correctly. And with pension funds struggling, you heard me correctly, pension funds struggling, they have had to turn to different investment concepts in order to keep the cash flow moving. And even though the number of pensions offered in the United States has been dwindling since the 1980s when the 401k came into existence, there are still pensions out there. There are a lot of municipal governments and state governments that offer their employees pensions. And those pensions are designed to pay a certain amount of money based on your work history, the amount of money that you made while working. Maybe you paid into those pension funds. Maybe the organization that you work for paid into those pension funds. But here's the thing. The cost of everything is going up. So just because money was put into a pension fund doesn't mean that that money sitting in that pension fund is going to be enough money to pay all the people that are entitled to those pensions. So a pension fund got into a bidding war with other major investors and won. And they paid top of market. They paid $32 million for 124 homes. all contained in one subdivision. Now, D.R. Horton went on to say, man, that was kind of an interesting thing, because the chief finance guy for D.R. Horton said they didn't expect that community to sell at a 50% gross margin. They actually made more money selling the whole thing at once than they would make if they had sold it to individual home buyers or investors. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? I don't know what you've been reading, but I've been reading all kinds of information that there's a lot of money out there. There's a lot of money out there that's competing to be invested. See, the pandemic affected our economy. It affected it in a negative way. I mean, when, you know, we couldn't go out and go to work, and those of us that could go to work, we couldn't go to the office. We had to find alternate ways to work. There was a slowdown in our economy. Now, if you look at the stock market, you'll go, I don't know what you're talking about, man, because stocks they're doing great. And I will admit that. Stocks seem to be doing okay. And stocks always appear to be doing okay or great until they aren't. But what I'm getting at is that there's pent-up demand out there. See, when the real estate markets were affected, and I'm not talking about the residential markets, the single-family homes, the duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, the multifamily communities, people needed a place to live. And self-storage seemed to do okay because people need to, like, store the stuff that they don't use. But some of those other markets, like hotels and retail, they got hit pretty hard because they rely on people coming to them. And when businesses are shuttered because we couldn't open the doors, well, there's no money flow there. So there's no reason for a big pension fund to invest into a retail center because there's no tenants to lease it. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about this article. Stick around.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So I started off the show by telling you that a big pension fund spent $32 million, all cash, to buy an entire subdivision north of Houston, Texas. That subdivision was built by D.R. Horton. It's 124 homes, all new construction, and a pension fund bought it. As a matter of fact, the pension fund got into a bidding war with other major entities that have the access to either $32 million of cash or the access to leverage the purchase of those properties. But the pension fund was willing to offer the highest price, $32 million. So think about it. A pension fund is part of a big group called institutional investors. What an institutional investor is they're big entities such as banks, mutual funds, insurance companies, and pensions themselves. And they have a responsibility to invest all of the money that they have to grow that money. See, when you invest in the stock market, you're competing with those people. Well, I shouldn't say people, because really they're big faceless entities. Okay, there's probably a face to them, but you know what I'm getting at. I mean, they're big organizations. And it's these institutional investors that create the movement in the stock market. See, whereas you and I might own, I don't know, let's say 100 shares of Google. I don't even know what that's worth today. But let's say we have 100 shares of Google and we're watching the stock price and we're considering maybe selling that stock once it hits a certain price. Maybe we've got a price in mind based on some research that we've done. And as that stock is going up and up and up, all of a sudden, that stock starts to go down. And you start wondering, well, wait a minute, why is that happening? What's going on here? It's because these big institutional investors have also identified what you've identified, but they've gone in for a lower price. They're willing to sell at a lower price than you are. And they've got a ton of shares. You and I, we got 100 each, right? Them, bunches. And they start selling that stock off. And they can't dump it all onto the market at one time because it would crash the stock. So they have to start selling in blocks. And as they start to sell that stock, it starts to drive the price down. Which means guys like you and I that were looking for that higher price, now we've got to like retrace our steps, because now we have to think about, wait a minute, why is the price going down? What's going on wrong? I mean, we did the research. The company was fine, right? Well, we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to jump in and try and sell our 100 shares while they're dumping thousands of shares. And that price is kind of maybe going down a little bit. And in essence, take a lower sales price. Or we just hold on and wait. And maybe the stock price will start moving back up. And maybe another institutional investor will come in and start buying up shares. Yeah, it's crazy. And what I'm getting at is a pension fund is one of those giant institutional investors that has a lot of people working for it, doing a lot of analysis. And I think these institutional investors are starting to get smart, and they're starting to realize that real estate has a better potential to create income streams and to create wealth. I mean, let's think about it. If that pension fund buys a stock and they hold that stock and they're waiting for that stock to go up in price, and when it gets to a certain price, they're going to sell that stock. They're going to exit the market for that stock. And they're going to take a capital gain. So let's say they bought in at $10 a share. And they sold at, I don't know, $14 a share. So their capital gain is $4, or about a 40% return, right? But how long did it take them to get that return? Or do they go for that $14? Maybe they go for $12. Maybe they go for $11. I don't know. I'm not an institutional investor. But let's step back a little bit, and let's talk about why they would buy an entire subdivision of new houses. Number one, they're getting new product. New product that's coming with a warranty. A home builder's warranty. There's a premium you pay for that. And of course, they paid top of the market for these houses. They averaged $258,000 a house. Now, what are those houses really worth? I don't know. I didn't do the research. But suffice it to say that they paid top of the market. And they're betting on the fact that real estate will appreciate over time. And we know for a fact that real estate does appreciate over time. It has the ability to appreciate and double in value about every 20 years. Faster in some places, slower in other places, but the sweet spot's about 20 years. So maybe they're deciding, okay, let's hold these houses for 5 years. Let's say they go up in value, and then we sell those houses. Oh, the other thing they get is the ability to depreciate those houses. And there may be something in their financial structure that allows them to take advantage of that depreciation. Now, you and I, we take advantage of that depreciation because we receive income streams in the form of rent payments. And when we take that rent payment and we pay all the associated expenses of operating that property, what's left over is our cash flow. And these entities are probably, well, I'm 99.9997% sure they paid all cash, which is not a good way for you and I to buy investment property. And the reason we don't do that is because we get better returns if we put the appropriate leverage or loans on the properties. But see, these are major entities that have to move a bunch of money. They're willing to take a smaller return on investment than you and I would be willing to take. And they don't need to leverage because they get these piles of cash that they've got to push. So they're probably able to take the depreciation off the rental income streams, which is reducing their overall cost, their overall tax liability. Here's the other thing. They know what I know. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what that is. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
Guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So as promised, I'm going to share with you what I know and these institutional investors know. And here it is. Real estate, by far, has been the one asset class that has created the most wealth in our country. Yeah, goes all the way back to like the 1700s. I mean, guys like Benjamin Franklin, one of the first self-made millionaires in our country, used real estate to develop that wealth. The things that guys like Ben Franklin did back in the 1700s, those techniques are still in play today. And I think what's going on with these institutional investors is that they're in a crisis. See, a pension is, well, I'll use the word promise. I think a pension is just that. It's a promise to pay you a certain amount of money based on what you did previously to earn that money. And if the entity running your pension does not have enough money to pay all the beneficiaries, that's a problem. You can find headline after headline that talks about all of these pension programs out there, and a lot of them are public, that are facing a crisis in the future. Some are in crisis right now. They're struggling to find ways to pay all the pensions that they're responsible for paying. Now, when it comes to institutional investing, pension funds are the largest part of the institutional investment community. And in 2018, they controlled more than $41 trillion in assets. See, pension funds receive payments from individuals and sponsors, either public or private, and they promise to pay a retirement benefit in the future to the beneficiaries of the fund. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And if you want to look at the largest pension fund in the United States, look to a thing called CalPERS. Now, CalPERS is the California Public Employees Retirement System. And when I was out in California doing my military stuff, I knew people that were a part of CalPERS. And the biggest thing they always lamented about was whether or not that pension fund itself was healthy. Because a lot of these people that I knew were looking at receiving a pension in maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years down the road. And if the pension fund is not healthy now, how healthy could it be 10 or 15 or 20 years down the road? Now, CalPERS reported total assets of more than $390 billion in 2020. And although pension funds have significant risk and liquidity constraints, they're often able to allocate a small portion of their portfolios to investments which are not easily accessible to retail investors. Those are guys like you and me, such as, well, I don't even want to talk about those guys. I don't even want to talk about those guys. So when you start hearing that a pension fund is buying real estate, what that tells me is maybe they're concerned about one or two things. Maybe that first concern is the people that do all their stock analysis and saying, hey, you know what? Maybe something may not be very good in the future. Something that they're seeing may indicate that the stock market may go a different direction, which reduces the value of their investments. Maybe they also realize that real estate has more stability. Because when you invest in real estate, you're investing in a long-term asset. I mean, short-term investing in real estate is really just flipping. It's going out and buying an asset that's distressed, fixing it up, putting it back on the market, and then selling it for a higher price. That's the short-term version of investing in real estate. And it comes with consequences. Because you're not eligible for capital gains taxes, you're eligible for paying taxes at whatever your established tax rate is. And the IRS says because you're doing that type of investment, they don't even consider it investment. They're calling you a dealer, a real estate dealer, kind of like somebody that sells cars, an auto dealer. And they say you're self-employed when you do that. So you get to pay both sides of Social Security and Medicare. That's what the law says. Now, long-term holds in real estate are buying real estate and holding them for a year and a day or longer. Most of the people that I know that own single-family houses that are members of Lifestyles Unlimited, they make a decision to hold a single-family property for maybe 3 years or 5 years or possibly 7 years. It's all based on a strategy that they sat down and figured out based on their goals and objectives. And it also has to do with looking at the assets that they've owned and understanding how those assets are performing for them. And that has an impact on how long you hold your properties for. I mean, in the single family space, one of the things that we do is we go in, we fix distressed properties up. And not like maybe a flipper does. See, a flipper is more concerned with doing as little as possible to make it as pretty as possible. And sometimes they may overlook some of the functional systems. Because you got to think about it. They're into that property for less than a year. They're willing to run the risk that the air conditioner might go out on them. And they're betting that it won't before they sell the property. And they're hoping that whoever buys that property either won't do an inspection because they're so focused on trying to buy something because right now the real estate market is white hot. It's a supply and demand thing. But us, as real estate investors, we're not only going to fix up the aesthetic parts of that house, we're also going to fix up the functional components of that property or replace them if we need to. Think about it. If you're going to buy a house and your strategy based on your goals and objectives is a five-year hold, you want to make sure you fix or repair anything that could go wrong in the next 5 years, because you don't want to be dealing with maintenance problems. And I'll tell you what, it's a recipe that works extremely well for us. And then when we decide to sell that house 5 years from now, it's up to whoever buys that property from us to do their own inspections. We're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes or anything like that, but we make sure that asset is viable for us. Now, most of the people that I know at Lifestyles Unlimited that invest in multifamily communities, most of those communities are five-year holds. Some of them are a little longer. Some of them are a little shorter. Just depends on the strategy of the investment. And in multifamily, it's a little bit different because you're not dealing with just one functional system in a house. You're dealing with a lot of different systems, so you have to have a different strategy, a different approach to it. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you my opinion on why real estate is a good bet for pensions. Stick around.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings. In other words, we can make no money or make very little money, we'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm talking about pension plans and the fact that pension plans are actually buying entire subdivisions from new home builders, because I think they have maybe been listening to the show or the Del Walmsley radio show. They're starting to see a different approach to what they've been doing. Now, check this out. The average price of all of these homes, now these are all new construction. So, and again, they paid full retail price for all of these homes, and they paid all cash because they've got a bunch of money they've got to push out there. So by buying the real estate, what it does for them is it allows them to diversify their portfolio so that they're not investing in the stuff that they normally invest in. It's a hedge against any particular or potential losses they may experience in the stock market or the bond market or in the treasury markets or wherever they put their money. Now, let's talk about what they're getting for returns. I mean, because I think it's important for you to realize that these properties, now I've did a little research, and the average monthly rent that they're charging for these homes is around $2,000 a month. It's actually a little bit higher, but we're going to go with $2,000 a month. So when you think about it, that particular home or any one of those particular homes is producing $24,000 in rental income. Now, they're going to have taxes and they're going to have insurance, which is going to reduce the amount of income. But once you take taxes and insurance out, they're still getting about a 7% cash on cash return. But they're also getting appreciation potential. Now, there's no guarantee that real estate will go up in value. There is no guarantee. But historically, it happens. So on one particular house, I mean, if you just use a very conservative number of, say, 3.5% per year, if they paid $258 for the house, the projected future value of that house is about $286,000. So when you think about that, it's almost a $28,000 increase in value. So they're getting additional equity on that property. Now, when you and I go out and we buy property, I mean, we could do the same thing that they've done. We could go out and buy something that's brand new, but here's why we don't do it. We buy property at wholesale prices, because when we buy property at wholesale properties or prices and we fix them up and we put them back into service, we bring them back to their glory days, we've done something called capturing equity. That's something that that pension fund didn't do. Because we bought wholesale, renovated, and our total amount in is less than what that property is really worth in the marketplace. So we get additional equity. And one of the reasons we like that is it insulates us in case property values do go down. Because when we invest in real estate, we do it correctly. And it allows us to make money whether property values are going up or they're going down. Now, here's another thing. We're going to put leverage on this these properties. And the reason we do that is that, I don't know about you, but I don't have $32 million laying around to go buy 124 houses. And if I did, I would probably go out and buy a bunch of apartment complexes or communities. Yeah, because what the apartment communities do for us is it gives us economies of scale. Now, technically, this pension fund got economies of scale. I mean, essentially, they bought a 124-unit apartment community that's on a pretty big plot of land. Most apartment communities are, you know, you could put a couple apartment communities in the footprint of what this pension fund bought. But I think this pension fund is wise, because I think that they have been impacted in the past. See, when the stock market crashes, it's not just you and I that get burned by the stock market. It's those big institutional investors too. Because when an institutional investor starts dumping shares on the market, it forces pricing down. And they start doing that because they're starting to protect their interests. See, you and I, we can't drive the stock market. Not with our 100 shares of Google, right? Yeah, we're just a piece of dust on the planet. But these institutional investors, they're like a continent on the planet. They can actually do something. So take a step back for a minute. And what I want you to do is I want you to consider what you're investing your money in. Are you getting the returns that you need in order to get yourself to a place of retirement in the next 5 years? And if the answer is no, then you need to take a step back and consider what it is you're doing for retirement. Because that conventional plan that's out there, the one that I was taught, the one that you were taught, it ain't working. It's working for some people. But those are usually the people that, you know, get to be the CEOs of their companies, right? Or the top-level executives. There aren't that many of those jobs to go around for the rest of us, though, right? So consider this. Consider taking some of your hard-earned money. Let's say it's just $25,000, and investing that money into a rental home that you buy at wholesale prices. You fix it up correctly. You put it back into service. You make it available for a great resident that will enjoy living there, will pay their rent on time, so that you can take care of the financial components of the investment. You're going to leverage your property, because here's the thing. If you're working with like $400,000, how many houses can you buy all cash? But if you put the appropriate leverage on all of those properties, $400,000 goes a long way, especially if you're putting $25,000 into each house. That's 16 houses. If you have 16 houses producing $400 a month each in cash flow, you've got $6,400 coming in cash flow. That's after all of the expenses. When you annualize that, you're looking at almost $77,000 of income. Now take a look at what you make right now, the money that you work for, and think about all the taxes that you pay and all the expenses that you absorb as an employee that are associated with going to work. And think about what you really need to live off. See, that is very important. That's closer to your real number. What do you really need to live off of? And then when you achieve that, you start looking at what is the lifestyle possibility. But let me get back to this this concept of having $400,000 and buying 16 houses. You'd be getting a 19% cash on cash return because you're leveraged correctly. And because you now have 16 houses, all 16 houses will go up in value, provided the market goes up, versus maybe buying just 4 houses. So if the market goes up, you make more money off of 16 houses in appreciation than you do on, say, 4 houses. Yeah, that's the way you got to think. Again, real estate does not necessarily go up in value, but it tends to. And there's a greater tendency for it to go up in value. And this is how people make wealth. This is how they change their lives. This is how they get out of the rat race and they get into the life that they desire. Because even though you might enjoy doing what you do for a living, there's a better way to get you to retirement. And then when you get to retirement, go ahead and keep working if that's what you want to do. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As a matter of fact, you could take that income that comes from that job and you could buy even more real estate and get there even faster. And then you got all these houses. You could sell all those houses and you could buy an apartment community and go even faster. It is really cool stuff. If you want to find out how we do business, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.